Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DiNicola.
Okay, so I put it out on Facebook. It's like, how many people are glad that 2016 is over? Overwhelmingly, they were happy. Now, some people got married in 2016, and they're real happy about that, but most people are saying 2016 was a tough year, and I'm believing God for something better in 2017. And even if we got married in 2016, you didn't get a whole year with your hubby or your wife in 2016, did you? 2017 is going to be a better year for you guys, and I believe it's going to be a better year for most all of us. Amen? But I want to look back on 2017 when I get to this point next year and say, it was a good year. It was a good year. My good, good Father was faithful to me in 2017. So whether 2016 was a good year or a bad year, I want you to consider this, that in 2017, God wants to do something new in you and through you. God wants you to experience new things in your life, and He wants you to have new experiences with Him. You see, because if the truth be told, every one of us are prone to stagnation in life. We get into routines, you know. We become stagnant even in our own routines. We can become stagnant in our marriage. We can become stagnant in our jobs. We can become stagnant at school. You just go through the motions. We become stagnant in exercise, in our studies. We can become stagnant in every aspect of life. In fact, I think that God wants us to get out of the rut, out of the routine in 2017. That's what I think God wants for you and me. Amen? So I want to ask you to consider this question. Are you ready, personally, are you ready for God to do something new in your life in 2016 or 17? Are you ready for God to do something new? Are you ready for a new beginning in this new year, 2017? Let's pray. Father, Lord, we don't want to be people that are satisfied with the status quo. We don't want to be people that are stuck in a rut or routine. And Lord, we want to see fresh things from Your Spirit working and flowing through our lives. We want to see new victories. We want to see new plateaus of spiritual experience and realities of our life. We want to see new growth and new fruit in our lives. Lord, we want to see You use us in new ways. Gift us with new gifts. Lord, make new opportunities for us. But Lord, we right now purpose in our heart to ask You, Lord, would You do something new in us, through us, this year, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So this Sunday is what I call Vision Sunday. Each year I kind of pray about it and ask the Lord, what is there one kind of focus point for us as a church family to look for as we go into the next year? So many of you know, I'm real happy to see 2016 gone, okay? It was a hard, hard year for me, particularly with the building and looking for buildings. I mean, you can't even imagine the stress and the difficulty of that. It's like if you've looked for a house, an apartment, place to live, multiply that times like 50. It's unbelievable. I couldn't have even believed it at the beginning of the year. I couldn't have believed it. It was very hard. And the up and the down of the roller coaster of emotions. You find something that's like, oh, great, and then poof, crashes and everything. and just doors closing. It's so discouraging, amen? And then it's neat. God brought us here, and he's kept us here, and he made a way for us to stay here, and that's neat. But then there's a lot of work with that, too. So I look at 2016, and I say, goodbye, good riddance. But it was a difficult year for me. And throughout the year, I drew close to the Lord, and I asked the Lord for anchor scriptures. And he gave me 20 anchor scriptures throughout the year to hold on to focus on. But as I read through that verse, those verses and that list of verses over and over and over throughout the year, there's one passage that stood out like a neon light every time I read those verses. And that passage really spoke to me personally through what I was going through. But I feel that the Lord wants that passage to be what speaks to all of us as we look forward to 2017. And it comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. It says this, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Now, when this was first written, this was written to God's people during a very discouraging point in their history. They had come to a place where they had lost everything. They were in captivity. They were slaves. Everything they thought they'd always have was taken from them. Their home, their families, the temple, the city of Jerusalem, the nation, everything gone. And they were there in captivity. They thought they would always enjoy blessings and favor, but not so. The Babylonians, the Assyrians have come, and they have taken everything away. They've even taken their bodies to Babylon. And there they are, slaves in Babylon. And these words were written to encourage the Jewish exiles in captivity. But I think you and I can find encouragement from these words in our lives today. And so no matter what 2016 was for us, God is faithful. And God wants to do some things in our lives in 2017. So let's look at some things we can learn from these two verses. One is, the first thing we learn is to forget something. That's what he tells us. We're to forget. We need to forget the past. That's the first thing. Forget the past. Verse 18, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old." There are some things we just need to forget. But you and I have a problem. We're very selective on the things we forget. We forget some things, but there's things that we need to forget that we keep on getting reminded of. Yeah. He says, forget those former things. So God's telling us, look, don't look behind you. Don't look at the past. Look forward to the future, because that's where I am. I'm a living God, and I'm in your future, and I want to be there. I want to accomplish things in you and through you in the future. When I was about fourth grade, I was with my friends, a couple of my friends, and we were riding our bikes real fast through the streets of my neighborhood. And I'm not the fastest bike rider. It wasn't then. Well, I'm not now. But at that time, for some reason, I was ahead of my friends, all by myself. My two friends were behind me. So far, I was like, almost wondered, are they still back there behind me? So I'm riding my bike, and I'm going real fast. I turned around to look at them, and they were yelling up at me, and I couldn't really hear what they said. And I kind of said something back at them, and just then, wham, everything in my life came to an abrupt halt. Crash! The next thing I knew, I was on the ground, my bike was on top of me, and I was looking up at my friends laughing at me because I had just run into the back of a parked car. Yeah, laughing. That's what boys do to one another. They laugh. Now, if I'd have been with the girls would have come over, and what would they have said first thing? They wouldn't have laughed. They'd have been concerned. They would have wanted to know how I was feeling. And then they would have laughed at me. That's the way it is, right? So confession time. How many of you have been walking and turned around and run into something or tripped over something? Or maybe you've been on your bike, or maybe you've been driving your car and you look this way and you should have been looking that way. Or maybe you've been texting and you ran over to something or you tripped over something. Yeah, we all can do that. We can get in trouble when we're looking behind when we're supposed to be looking in front. Forget the past. Don't look back at it. And we do that particularly when it comes to our sins, when it comes to our failures. But you know, 1 John 1:9, many of us know that verse, remember? If we confess our sins, he's faithful. He's just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful to do that. So the Bible tells us that God forgives our sin when we confess it to him. That's when he forgives it, when we confessed it. But how many of us still are being reminded of the guilt, the shame, the failure of our past sin? And God says, I forgave you already. I've released that. I've forgotten. Why don't you forget? I love what Pastor Allen, how he put it last Sunday. Remember how he shared about how what God does with his sin? He takes it and he drops it into the sea. I wish I could tell stories like him. He's an amazing storyteller, isn't he? And he talks about, you know, God took my sin and there it was and he dropped it into the sea and this big tsunami came up and just went all over the place and then it just disappeared. That's what God promises to do with your sin, with my sin. So why would we want to look back on it? Why dwell on that? What's interesting is just a couple verses later from our verses that we're reading in the same chapter of Isaiah 43, it says in verse 25, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will remember your sin no more. Now notice, he didn't say I blot out your transgressions because you're a good person now and you promise you'd never do it again. What did he say? I blot out your transgressions for my own sake. It's all about him. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. And he says, I'll remember them no more. So don't you dare remember. But there are sins, past sins, that seem to have strongholds in our memory, and they prevent us from moving forward, from looking forward, because we're remembering the past. God says, don't do that. Don't remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Let's ask him to take those things out of our memory, to remove them from our thoughts. There's another thing we need to forget, though. We need to forget our successes. Yeah. Not only forget your failures, forget your successes, too. Did you notice that in verse 18? It says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. He wasn't just talking about the bad former things. He was talking about all of the former things. And for most of them, the captivities, the ones in captivity in Babylon, most of the former things they were remembering were good things. Oh, remember when we weren't slaves? We didn't have to work like dogs for this king that just beats us and treats us like animals? Remember when we had our own fields, when we had our own homes, we had our own possessions, when we were successful? Oh, yeah. For them, it was forget even the good things, the successful things. Yeah. So some people are living today off victories from yesterday, living off the past, just remembering them. A past accomplishment, a past position, a past time in your life when you did something big or good for God. But what are you doing for God today? And what are you going to do for the Lord? And what is he going to do through you this year? That's the question. It isn't what happened and what we did in the past. Oh, I led someone to the Lord, you know, a few years ago. That's great. Don't you want to lead someone to Jesus this year? How about two people? That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Lead a couple of people to the Lord. The Apostle Paul said this. He put it this way. What things are gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I might gain Christ and be found in him. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but he says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to the things that are ahead, I press for the goal of the prize of the upward call of Christ Jesus. Wow. Yeah, forgetting the things that are behind. Why? Because I can't press forward with all of my strength and accuracy and all my momentum if I'm looking this way. How am I going to run a race looking this way and win that race? I can't. You can't. He says, I'm going to look forward. I'm forgetting the things that are behind. But it necessitates that we forget those things that are oftentimes the successes in life. Do we still want to see Jesus becoming real and alive in people's lives around us? But, you know, I had this time, I came back from summer camp, or, you know, I had this time, I came back from this experience with God, and I had this neat time of fellowship, and he was so real to me for weeks. And what about today? That was then. What about now? I want something better than the best I've ever had this year, don't you? I want a better time of prayer. I want a richer and more devoted time of worship than I've ever had. And why not? Isn't God able to do that? Doesn't he want that for me? Doesn't he want that for you too? I want to see things in the Word of God that I've never seen before. I want Jesus to be sweeter than he's ever been before. Key point, past successes can cause stagnation in our life. They can cause us to be stagnant. You know, I kind of did that, check that off. I did that, check that off. I'm doing pretty good. No. Let's take the children of Israel, for example. They had some successes. They had amazing successes, okay? They're slaves in Israel. 10 huge plagues destroy the nation of Egypt, the greatest and strongest nation of the earth at that time, and they walk out as free people. Pretty good. Then they walk through the Red Sea on dry ground. How many of you have ever done that? You know, they're in the desert for 40 years. 40 years. And they're seeing miracle after miracle after miracle. And then they come to the edge of the Promised Land and they go across the River Jordan and they take the Promised Land miraculously. God does so many things. They had tremendous successes. They had victories. But where do we find them when God was speaking these words to them? They're in a foreign land as slaves. It didn't matter how many past victories they had. What mattered was, what did God want to do with them today? That's what mattered today. They needed God to do something new, and that's what he promised them. They needed God to do something fresh, something new in their lives. How about you? Do you want God? That's probably the best question. Do you want God to do something new in you and through you this year? Or do you just want to stay in the rut and routine all throughout the year? Or do you want something new? That God would do something new. Some new miracle in your body. Some new miracle in your marriage. Some new miracle in your heart or your mind. That God would do a miracle, a new thing in your life. That he put some new gifts in your life. That he'd use you in new ways. Isn't that what you'd want? That's what I want. He's a living God. And God is a God whose mercies are what? New every morning. They're new every morning. Can we believe him for something new in our lives this year? I can. You can. And I want to. Now, did you know in the Bible, numbers have meanings? The number 17 is an interesting number because it's kind of a combination of two numbers, the number 7 and the number 10. The number 7, the meaning of number 7 is completion. You know, in creation, God created the creation in 7 days, and the seventh day he rested, and it was complete. Okay, 7 is that number of completion. 10 is the number of testimony, like the Ten Commandments, testimony. So 17 is a combination of those. It means complete testimony or victory. 17 means victory as we look at the Bible in numbers. There's a few things you can look at. I'll just share a couple of them for you today. It was interesting to me. On the 17th day of the month of Noah's life, it specifically says on the 17th day of that month, the fountains of the deep broke up and the windows of heaven opened. Then it says on the 17th day of the month, the ark rested on the mountains of Ararat. Wow, that's interesting. On the night of the 17th of the month, the children of Israel passed through the Red Sea. And that morning, they sang a song. What was the song? It was a song of victory. Yeah, victory. That month was so significant that God says, I'm changing this month on your calendar. It's now going to be the first month of the year for you. Wow. So that's what happened on the 17th of that month. I was fascinated to find in Romans chapter 8, one of my kind of favorite passages in the Bible, where it says at the end of the chapter, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And it talks about these things: tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, nor any other created thing. There's 17 of those. 17 things that God says specifically, they can't come between you and the love of Christ. You have victory over every one of them. Wow. Isn't that awesome? Wow. Praise the Lord. So we can't live on past victories, and neither could the children of Israel. Their manna came fresh every morning. Every morning they went out and gathered manna. And I believe God wants us to have a fresh and living faith. Key point, we cannot live on yesterday's faith. But you can fill in the blank there with a lot of words. We can't live on yesterday's victory. We can't live on yesterday's miracles. We can't live on yesterday's manna. We can't live on yesterday's anything. God is God of the living. We can't allow past failures to pull us down. We can't allow ourselves to live in the past because God wants to give us a future to live in. He wants to be present and living in our future. And for some today, that may be a word from the Lord for you. Just like Gabrielle shared, you know, she got to that point in her communion focus. She said, you know, this may be enough for someone. And I'm say the same thing. This may be enough for someone here. You just needed to hear, you know what? I need to stop living in the past. I need to let go of that mistake, those things. I've come to God. I just need to let go. For some, it might be, I need to stop reminding people of something they did in the past. I need to let that go. I love what Romans 8, 1 and 2 says. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Wow. The third thing we find from these scriptures is to expect God to do something new. We need to expect God to do something new. That's what it says in verse 19. He says, behold, I will do a new thing. Not, well, I might. He says, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? Now, let me ask you, did the children of Israel deserve God to do something new for them? They're in captivity. Did they deserve anything from God? No, they deserved exactly what they got. Remember our study in 1 Kings and 2 Kings? We study what they did and what caused them to get where they were in captivity. It was really, really bad. They didn't deserve God's mercy, his kindness, his love at all. So God says, I'm going to do something new and I'm going to forgive your sins. It had nothing to do with them deserving it. It had only one thing to do, and that was with his love for his people. And it's the same with you and I. We don't get forgiven because we deserve it. We are forgiven because Jesus loves us. He wants us to be free from the past. And he knows this. There's no way that any one of us can change the past. You can't change the past. I can't change the past. And guess what? God knew that. He knew it. He knows that we can't change the past. We can't fix it. That's why Jesus came, to give his blood as a sacrifice for our sins, because we can't fix it. He says, you can't go back and fix it. But I can forgive it through my blood. I'll fix it. That's what Jesus says. I'll fix it. And I fix it by cleansing it. Wow. So God holds out this promise of hope, this promise of faith, this promise of a fresh start to his people. Is that what you want? Is that what you want from God this year? I know that's what I want. It's interesting. He says in that verse 19, shall you not know it? So I looked up that word know. It's the Hebrew word yada. And it means this: to know by seeing, to be taught, to be revealed, to be understood. So God says, look, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to do this new thing. And then he says, it's not going to be in secret. It's not going to be like I'm doing it in the closet here and you try to figure it out. No, he says, shall you not know it? You're going to see it. You're going to behold this. You're going to recognize it. You're going to understand this. So when you look at your life today, as we look at our lives, do we see a bunch of problems or do we see a bunch of possibilities? Because we all have problems. Every one of us here have problems. How many have problems? Yeah, we all have problems. If you didn't raise your hand, you're either lazy or lying. You take your pick. So we all have problems, don't we? So when God looks at our problems, he's looking at them going, there's possibility for me to work there. There's possibility for me to do something new with those problems. Verse 19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in a desert. That brings us to point number 4. Don't fret if you find yourself in the wilderness. Because you know what? 2017 may be a difficult year for some. It may be a wonderful year for others of us. We don't know. But for some of us, it may be a real hard and difficult year. But we don't need to fret when we find ourselves in the river. Why? Because God promises two things. He says, I'm going to make roads and rivers there. Wow. He actually, there's no roads in the wilderness. He actually is going to make a road. He says, I'm going to make it. I'm going to build the road. Then he says, in the desert, I'm going to make a river. He actually is going to create a river miraculously in the desert. That's what his promise is. Figuratively, what does that mean? When we have wilderness and desert times in our lives, God says, I will make roads. I will make rivers there. So I was thinking about roads and rivers. Why would God say roads and rivers? Not about roads, okay? Roads. Well, roads bring supplies, don't they? By God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Roads provide us a path to travel on. I love what it says in Acts 2. You have made known to me the ways of life, that path to travel through life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Roads give us direction. With a road, we have a direction that we're traveling. We know where we're going. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Roads make travel a whole lot easier. And God says, I'll make your travel easier. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Here's Google Maps for your life. Yeah, this is it. This is your navigation system. Where do you want to go in life? Tell Siri. Go to the context, you'll get Siri. And you find what God has for you. And then what I thought about roads, I thought it's really cool as I think about roads, because that's a place where Jesus kind of likes to travel with us, is on the road. Psalm 139 says this, you comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. So when I'm going on a road and I'm going the wrong direction and I'm lost, it's okay. He's with me. Even though I'm lost, he's with us. But it gets better than that. Do you remember in Luke chapter 24, the end of the Gospel of Luke, there's these two disciples on a road called the Road to Emmaus. And it tells us there that Jesus himself, he joins them as they travel on the road. And it says that he opened their eyes. So when God says, I'm going to provide roads in the wilderness, it tells me that he's promising that he's going to join me as I travel through life, and I'm believing for him to open my eyes to see new things. Shall you not know it? Shall you not see it? Shall you not perceive it? And then he promises rivers in the desert. Well, rivers, they bring supplies too. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Rivers make travel a whole lot easier. Yeah, you get in the boat, just let the current take you. Right down the stream. It's a whole lot easier than walking or riding on a horse. Maybe easier than driving in a car. Get on a cruise ship. Let the captain pilot the boat, and you're just having a good time eating lobster tails and steak, right? Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Rivers also provide refreshment. A river in the desert? That's a refreshing thing. I love what Acts 3:19 says, rather. He talks about times of refreshing coming from the very presence of the Lord. But I was thinking about rivers in the desert and rivers just as a whole, and I thought another aspect of rivers is they provide boundaries. They provide kind of a little bit of a barrier of protection. If the enemy's going to come after me, he's got to cross the river. And if it's rainy season, he's got to cross a big, wide river. And that reminds me of God's word in Isaiah 59, where he says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. I'm going to create a boundary so the enemy can't attack your life. But rivers also supply life and blessing to others. And I love what Jesus said. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Provide life and blessing to others. So think about this. Who do you want to be a blessing to in a greater way this year? Is there someone that you would like to be a blessing to in a greater way this year? It might be a friend. It might be a neighbor. It might be a coworker. It might be a husband. It might be a wife. It may be your child, or it may be your parent. But you say, you know what? I want to be a greater blessing to that person. I want to be a river in the desert to them. And then think about this. Where do you want to be a greater blessing? Where is it that you want to see God flow through you in a way that blesses people? Where is that? Who is that? What does that look like? So you may find yourself in a desert right now. You might say, Pastor Steve, I don't have to wait for the desert. I'm in the desert. Or you may find yourself in a desert this year. But remember one thing. This is the key point here. The wilderness was a place where miracles happened daily. Think about that. When the children of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years, miracles took place every single day. Some days there were amazing miracles that took place, but every day there were not just a miracle, there were miracles that took place every single day. Not a day went by that miracles didn't happen. Manna dropped from heaven. Manna didn't drop from heaven, but it lasted the next day. There is a pillar of fire by night that kept them warm, that lit the camp. There was a cloud that shaded them every single day in the wilderness. Every day had multitude of miracles. Then we read of events where water comes out of a rock and they're healed of the bite of the deadly serpents and all these things. And the ground opens up and swallows those that were sinning in the camp. Miracles happened every day in the wilderness. So if we find ourselves in the wilderness, we find ourselves in a place where God just, he loves to do miracles in the desert, in the wilderness. Isaiah 35, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Then the lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the dumb sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. So God says, the desert, the wilderness, that's a place where I poured out blessing. That's a place where I pour out life. That's a place where I pour out miracles and goodness to my people. It's in the desert wilderness. So you and I, we don't know, none of us here know what 2017 holds, do we? We don't. But we know him who holds 2017 in the palm of his hand. And he says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Let's stand. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, that you are faithful to be with us. And Lord, for some of us here today, you're telling us to forget the past. That there have been things that have happened in the past that are hindering and binding us and preventing us. They're like a millstone preventing us from moving forward. We feel like we're dragging that big thing behind us, the weight. Oh Lord, cut that rope, Lord, that we can run freely. And for some of us, God's saying it's time for you to get up out of the rut, out of the routine, forget the successes and the victories of the past. I've got greater things for your future. For others, Lord, you're saying you want us to expect you to do something new. To actually have faith to believe that you're going to do something new. Something maybe we've forgotten or stop praying for. A new miracle. Might be new gifts. See God work in a new way. Maybe it might be a loved one, someone we love and care about, that we've stopped believing that they could actually become a Christ follower. Let's expect God to do big miracles this year. And Lord, you tell us not to fret. when we find ourselves in the wilderness, because you are there to provide for us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.